station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. It's April 5th, and Brigetta is running late, but I'm not alone in the studio.
No, you're not.
I'm not at all. I asked Dr. Dina to return to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Of course. It was so much fun, you know. For those who don't know, Dr. Dina is a great expert on cannabis and medical marijuana and things like this. I'm sure also recreational marijuana. I mean, you're already there. You might as well learn about that as well.
Why not?
Yeah.
But you're forgetting the big part here.
Yes, tell us.
I'm also known as the real Nancy Botwin from the show Weeds.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Yeah. So tell us why you're known as that.
Well, I started the medical marijuana movement in Southern California back in 2002.
Wow.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting is the first collective that started on Sunset Boulevard, I helped consult for, and there were several gentlemen that would come into the store and want to meet me and talk to me.
Wow.
And later I found out that they worked for the show Weeds.
Oh, so wow.
I had no idea when I was talking to them and giving away my secret that they were going to use it and make this
amazing
show.
Wow, so that's what they did, huh?
That's what they did.
Wow. Now, let me ask you, I mean, it's been medical marijuana has been legal in California since the 90s.
96.
Right. So how did you help found it in California if it was 2002?
Well, just because they passed the law in 96 doesn't mean that all of a sudden these businesses were open. People really didn't know how to handle it.
Mm.
So I researched it. In Southern California, there were no doctors.
Really?
None. Wow. That would write a recommendation. People were scared.
Yeah.
And a lot of doctors were afraid to lose their license. Mm. So they didn't want to recommend it.
Right.
And they also didn't know, do you recommend it? Do you prescribe it? How
right.
do you handle something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, what is that?
And it's not a prescription because you can't get it at a normal pharmacy. It's not FDA approved.
Right.
It's not a federally scheduled 2 or 3 substance. It's Schedule 1. So you have to only recommend it. You can't prescribe it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we found a doctor and we moved him down to Southern California.
Yeah.
And that's how we started.
Really? Where did you move him from?
From San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's where it all started in San Francisco, would you say?
That was definitely the heart of the movement, yes.
Wow. So it became a movement. I mean, it's
huge
not just
movement.
Like, yeah.
Huge movement.
So how did this like become like so big like this? That it became a movement and you know, I mean, other things, you know, if people pass laws and they don't care, they just kind of like go along with it, you know.
Well, I think in reality, if we look at if you take 100 people and you ask them honestly, have you ever smoked marijuana before?
Right.
I would say 60 out of the 100 would say, of course.
Yeah.
In fact, they probably use it all the time.
Yeah. I just read an article yesterday that it is about 70% of people are have smoked marijuana before.
Yes, you know? 75% of people are actually pro medical marijuana use, but nowadays 55% of people are actually pro recreational.
Yeah, which is good. That's a good sign. Welcome to the show, Brigetta.
Oh, thank you. I want to just let you know what awesome just happened in the elevator. It was actually really funny. I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm butting in anyway because I'm gonna say what I want to
say. That's okay. We'll go back. We're talking about pot. That's what you're talking about.
Butting in.
Butting.
Perfect.
It works, and you look beautiful as ever.
Thank you.
Yes.
So do you.
Oh, thank you. Not really, but thank you. Thank you. So, okay, I just want to talk about pickup lines really quick because I really just don't get this. I really, really just don't. So I'm in the elevator. I'm clearly late. I ask the guy quickly, which floor, which floor? He goes, 2. And I go, are you sure it's 2? And he goes, 3. And I go, oh my God, I'm going to fucking kill you. I already pressed 2. I'm already late. This elevator's slow enough. You're making me later. Now I'm mad at you. And he's like, and I'm joking, but I'm like, I'm being, you know, hyper like I am right now, which comes across a little aggressive sometimes. Which,
duh.
So you don't talk to me. That's perfect. Because I really didn't want to have a conversation. He's turned on by this.
Really?
Oh, no.
Yes. In the elevator. Not, and you know, the elevator is very slow.
Yeah.
I thought I was actually stuck on the fourth floor for a second just now because it wouldn't open. And I'm like, oh my God, now I'm stuck in the elevator. I hope my phone works so I can call you when I'm stuck in it. Because I actually thought I was. And anyway, so he's like, oh, hold on a minute. He's on a phone call. So he's trying to show off for his guy friend. And he's like, put your number in my phone. I go, you think I'm putting my number in that phone?
Really?
Is that what he said to you? And I go, is that what you're doing right now? You're picking me up in the elevator. You just pissed me off by pressing every damn floor. And I am on the top floor, of course. Now I got to wait. You want me to wait? And now I'm putting my number in your phone? You're crazy.
Wow.
And I go, I'm going to forgive you just because you're wearing a Carolina Blue shirt. That's the only reason. The only reason. And he's like, hold on for a minute, bro. I'm looking at this girl right here. She's really hot, and I need her digits. And I go, what?
Wow.
And then he's like, what, you married? I'm like, does it matter? Maybe I am. Is that how you're going to talk to me right now? You're going to take me on a date like that? Yo, get in my car. You know what I mean? Like, who talks to somebody
like
really
this? It's really funny that you said that, because I just watched a YouTube video the other day where these two guys, they made a deal that all they can say to a girl is put your number in my phone. And they walk up to these girls and they say, here's my phone. They go, here, put your number in my phone. And the girls look at them for a
and
second,
like,
but they do
it.
They
really?
All right. Every one of them did it.
Are you serious?
It was unbelievable.
You know what's funny is most girls want to be told what to do. Here's the thing with me, though. I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah.
You're pissing me off. Like, now I'm like, put my number in your phone? I'm going to throw your goddamn phone. You know what I mean? Get it out of my face. And then he's like still going on, and I go, get out of my elevator. Now it's on your floor. Get out. And he's like, what? And I go, you heard me. Get out of my elevator. And he's laughing, and he's turned on even more. And I'm like, closing the door, close the door, close, close, close. And so I'm like, to be turned on by that, like, this is the kind of guy, like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. Like, he needs it turned around on him. Like, he wants to.
Probably, yeah.
You know
to
what
order
I mean?
Someone around. But maybe it's just overconfidence, you know? I mean.
You know, we were having a discussion last night. I went to a couple events. And the same thing, this guy, this poor guy. And he comes over to my girlfriend and I. And, well, you know Drea.
Yeah.
And so, and she's a relationship expert. And he comes over and he starts pouring his heart out to us about, like, these girls. And I go, can I be blunt with you? And he's like, I think I'm going to hear it anyway. I'm like, no, I'm going to be really honest. You're a fucking pussy. Like, man up. Take a girl out. Because he tells us this story. Sorry, I'm going on a huge rant right now.
That's okay.
He tells us this story of this girl he really likes. He really likes this girl, okay? And I already know, I have a feeling what you're going to say, because I want to know what you think. He likes this girl. He goes out on a date. Let's say you are the girl. He takes you out. You guys meet at a safe spot. You go for coffee at first.
Right.
She brings her dog. So you bring your dog with you. You meet for coffee. You have a good time. Then you decide to go for a walk. He takes your dog for the walk, like, as you're walking and talking, like, okay, that's kind of cute,
okay.
Like, in a way. All right.
Absolutely.
Cool. Long story short, somehow you wind up at his house. You wind up having sex for the first night. I don't know how that spun into it, but this is what happened. And then the next day she's like, okay, well, I want to go for coffee again. Now, it's her birthday this weekend. I say, well, you ignore her. You talk, you know, you text once, had a nice time, whatever. You ignore her on her birthday. You say, happy birthday. I'd like to take you out to dinner next week for your birthday. Mm. Don't respond anything else. Then on, like, Wednesday, then, you know, you respond and say, you know, hey, are you available? You want to go out for dinner? He's like, no, I can't do it. He goes, I'm going to take her out to lunch again. I go, first of all, you had sex with me and you're going to take me out to lunch? You're insane. I'm going to look at you like you're a complete moron. I'm sorry, I'm not worth a dinner. It's lunch. And he was like, well, coffee's a safe thing. I'm like, I really am going to smack you upside the head right now.
Thing at this point.
That's
what I
said.
I'm so happy my boyfriend's not in this room right now.
I'm like, oh my God, you're the biggest pussy I've ever met in my life. You are such a moron. I want to slap you silly. Well, she's the one who said coffee. And I'm like, it's her birthday, you idiot. Step the game up. And he actually said...
And you wonder why he's single.
Right.
Yeah.
And he actually said, well, I'm scared to, because I'm scared if I step it up to dinner, she'll say no. And I go, well, don't you want to weed them out quicker? That'd be a quick weeding them out, in and out.
True.
You know what's working, what's not. You know, next.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I kind of really like her. And I'm like, well, if you really like her and it's meant to be, she's going to say yes to dinner. I'm sorry. Right. I'd be insulted if we just had sex, had a good night, and you asked me for coffee. That's an insult.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. You're whining and dining my ass. I'm
absolutely.
Just saying.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah, you agree.
I'm just on this rant. And then this morning, like,
he's going to be single for a long time.
He's going to be single, just like this poor soul who's on
unless
the third
unless he learns,
floor.
You know.
Although he could be married. You never know these days.
He could be married. He could
Some
be.
Of the ones that are married are the ones that just...
True, but the way
they don't, yeah, they don't give a shit,
you
know.
It's true.
Yeah.
But to walk around and shove someone's phone in your face, like, I don't think he's married. Because if you shove something in my face, that thing's going out the window.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. Women have to be subjected to all this bullshit. You know, I don't understand it. You know, I really don't. I don't have, you know, I don't have the balls to treat a woman like that. You know, it's just like, you know, it's just like. You know, otherwise you feel like they're less than you, you know, and I don't find that as a turn on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But maybe some guys do, you know? They, like you said, maybe some women like to be told what to do.
Some women I feel like do in a way, but that's not even completely it. Like, in a way, like, I feel like when I'm in a relationship, you know, it's an equal thing, but you just, sometimes you just want a guy to be the guy.
No, exactly. You know? You like a guy that's able to take control of a situation.
And need be.
But there's a difference between forceful, put my number, you know, put your number on my phone.
Like,
and
or,
just to be confident.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or yes. I want to take you out to a nice dinner.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's confident enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, put my number in my phone. The next thing you're going to do is they shove your face in the pillow. That's what I'm thinking. Like, that's not working.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bridget, are we expecting a guest on the phone, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Do you remember who it is?
Yes.
Okay. Because he's calling now.
Oh, okay. It's the dentist one. And that's just going to be funny.
Okay.
This will go along with what we're saying.
Good. Excellent.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, actually, this is Oliver Pearl. I'm your guest today.
Yes.
Oliver,
hi,
was there?
Hi, how are you?
A really cool book, which I actually have the book for you. It's in my car.
Oh, okay.
And you have to take the elevator to go get it again.
I know. Taking the elevator to go and get it is not happening right now. But anyway, he wrote, like, it's a sexy book. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a sexy book.
And Do you think so?
Yeah. Okay. And, we're talking about, you know, I had a run-in the elevator with some guy, and we're talking about pickup lines and... You know, how men treat women these days and certain sexual things. Oh. So this kind of falls along with it. So I'm going to let you talk about your book a little bit and what inspired you. And
okay, so, the book is The Last Gentle Dentist. It's 200 pages. It's 12 ounces.
Uh-huh.
It's wide enough to hold a couple of coffees.
It's
a point.
The weight of the book.
I know.
Yeah,
like,
it's a point.
Are you
to
trying
know,
to refer
ounces,
to something
know,
else? Because I don't think yours is 12 ounces.
Make me think of something else.
Anyway.
You weighed your book. That's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sam, you want me to ask me a specific question, or you just want me
Tell us what's the story about. It's obviously about a dentist.
Oh, you were being a smartass, because that wasn't funny.
Yeah, I can't escape it. It's the time of the morning when I'm smartass.
Where are you calling from, Oliver?
You know what? I think I'm calling from Sacramento. As a matter of fact, I'm having a dental appointment in about 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So I timed it so I can talk to you guys from a landline. I haven't talked to, you know, with somebody on a landline since Clinton days.
Yeah.
So I just kind of timed it so they let me, you know, speak to you from the landline.
Well, okay, that's
so
cool.
If somebody wanted to buy your book, how would you describe it and what would you say it's about? That's what I was getting at, smartass.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, the book is about, basically, it's kind of, it's strange that it's dedicated to women in a way, because it's basically a big, 200-page love affair of this guy I'm writing about, with life, with women, with everything that's so dramatic about our living experience.
Right.
And the book itself is basically about somebody who's trapped in the body of a dentist in this particular case, who is not, he doesn't belong there. You know, he wants to be somewhere else. He wants to do some other things, but he just lives a good life. You know, he makes good money, and but. Everything he does in his life is basically to sabotage his career.
Oh, okay.
Because he wants out, he can't do it, you know, on his own. So he does things. He does things that are completely out of order with what he does. He sleeps with his assistants. He sleeps with his patients. He, you know, he takes drugs. He does a whole bunch of stuff. And
it's
kind of
like
point,
Jackie, like that show. I forget the
Nurse
name.
Jackie.
Nurse Jackie.
Nurse
right?
Jackie.
You know, maybe I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what happens. And at some point, he becomes a fugitive because some very serious people in bulletproof vests and cleft chins. They come to his office and they basically just arrest everybody, so to speak. And he's, as a matter of fact, during this time, he's in Paris and, you know, living his life. And all of a sudden, he's in big trouble. And that's what happens. And then the rest of the story is in the book, and what happens to him and how he takes it, how he remembers his life and how he, you know, kind of understands it and, you know, what he does in the future.
Amazing. So how did this... No, I mean, really, how did this book come about? I mean, had you written before, or is this your first book?
Are you trying to tell us that you sleep with your patients? That's what I want to know.
He's the author, relax.
Yeah, but he's
not the character.
You don't know that. Have you ever slept with a patient?
I haven't been a doctor ever.
Oh, I thought you said you were.
It's a story about somebody I actually know.
Oh.
I knew him personally, and... okay. He's a great guy, and I understand his turmoil and his struggle. And it was a story that, you know, I decided to make it into a book. And it just so happened at some point I had some, you know, previous experiences writing and doing some stuff, but nothing really grabbed me to the point that I wanted to sit down and spend like 20 hours each day writing that book. And I wrote probably about 500 pages of it. And then at some point I just had to edit it to the point where it's very concise and smart ass.
Yeah. Now, so are you a writer by profession or was this...
No, I've done many different things, but writing was something that I wanted to do. It's something I like to do, and I just never had a good matter to delve into. And all of a sudden, that story kind of grabbed me very, very deeply.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I was completely, completely possessed by it.
Yeah. You know? Now, the guy that you that inspired you for the book, does he know that it's about him, or that he was the inspiration?
Well, he did actually. He's no longer with us. He passed away. He died in a helicopter crash.
Oh, oh wow.
Yeah. So, but he knew about it all the way. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow, that's cool. So where can people find the book, and what is the title?
It's on Amazon. I think it's Barnes and Nobles, and you know, I've heard people buying it in some different places, and
just Google it.
It's a funny story. This guy wrote me an email saying that it's you know, said a few things about the book. He liked and all that, but he said that it's a very powerful bear repellent.
Yeah.
And I understand exactly what he was saying, but he said that he took the book with him on a camping trip.
Uh-huh.
And they were hiking somewhere, and all of a sudden they realized that the bear went to their camp.
No. Oh, okay.
And some things were missing, and actually the book was missing as well.
Okay. Well, the bear had a good taste.
They heard really strange noises throughout the night, and they decided they want to change their campsite.
Uh-huh.
And when they were leaving, they actually found the book completely just shoveled and,
wow,
and all that stuff. So I don't know if the bear liked it or not, but, you know, it was gone.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah. Now, so what's the title of the book again?
It's titled The Last Gentle Dentist.
The Last Gentle Dentist. Okay.
Yes.
And have you made a website for this? Can people find out more about you?
You know what? It's such a frustrating experience with the website. I've been waiting for this to be completed for such a long time.
Yeah.
And the people that do the site is amazingly talented guys, but it just takes a little bit longer than I expected. And the website is supposed to come out, I don't know. Hopefully, it's a couple of days.
Okay.
I've heard.
Sounds good.
Heard, yep.
But we'll look for your book on Amazon and booksellers and everything. The Last Gentle Dentist. And
yes, guys. Thanks very much. I was listening to your show a few times, and you have tremendously positive personality. So it's great to listen to you.
Thank you very much, Oliver.
Thank
you. We appreciate it. All the best to you with the book.
All the best to you, too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, it's cool when people write books. Are you going to write a book, Dr. Dina?
Maybe one of these days.
Yeah, you need to write
a
book.
You should. Yeah, you've got stories. You totally should.
Yeah.
But can I tell them all is the question.
Get a ghostwriter.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Call it fiction, and then you can write whatever you want, you know. So this movement started. We'll go back to cannabis and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
sorry.
Yeah, I mean, what the heck, you know? That's what I want to talk about. So so you found that doctor, and you moved him to Southern California?
Uh-huh.
And what happened then?
he reeked of patchouli oil, and I couldn't handle the smell, so I fired him after like 2 weeks, and
then really?
I used him with a different doctor. He had dreadlocks, and he just really, it smelled really bad.
Really? Head. So he didn't really look like a doctor.
No,
that's what
he
you're
really,
saying.
I checked him out, too. He really was a doctor.
Okay.
I checked every website you could imagine, because I was like,
really?
Really? How's this guy?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
wow. He looked like Bob Marley. but he really was a doctor.
Yeah.
He was a great guy. He just
smelled.
He's just,
you needed
a
shower.
Was bad. It was bad. I mean, he would hug me, and I would go home, and I would smell it on myself. Like,
oh,
I couldn't
my
wash
God.
It out of me. It was like the oil.
It's like a body odor and things like
the
that.
Oil,
I know.
The oil, the patchouli oil.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. That's why I don't do well as a hippie.
Yeah.
I'm a hippie. Right? Yeah. I like my oils.
Do you put your patchouli oil on, though?
I don't use patchouli oil normally. I do have it, but if I have it, I'm going to mix it with other things.
Mm.
But I am always told that I smell amazing, so I don't
it's just
I
the
smell
straight
like
patchouli.
See, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That just smells like you're covering up trash, or like it's a
exactly.
Mexican shower, or
something
you know,
is just not right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Musk.
Yeah.
Musky.
Like you've been dirty. Like that's when you've been dirty and you've been hung over for a few days, and like I don't know where you've been, but and then you come out and then you just shove stuff all over you.
Right.
It's the Mexican shower.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we opted for a professional-looking doctor with a white lab coat.
That's more
nice.
Like it, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is cool. So we talked a lot about this when you were here previously, and I wanted to cover some other things. So if you guys missed our first interview with Dr. Dina, go back. It was probably about a month ago, 6 weeks ago maybe, and you guys can find out the whole background story and everything. But I wanted to talk a little bit about legalizing it and things like that, you know, because like I said, again, I was reading an article yesterday, an extensive article on marijuana use in America and stuff, mm-hmm. and they're saying how for the first time now, more than 50% are for legalizing it for recreational use.
Well, you have the baby boomer generation, the people that used it in the 60s.
Right.
And they know they're still around. Nothing didn't hurt them. So why
right.
not? Now they're starting to come down with ailments and,
right.
you know, diabetes and neuropathy and all other issues that you could easily solve with cannabis.
Right. Yeah. I guess people are realizing now it's not really a gateway drug to anything harder. It's something
really
in the class by itself.
It's no more of a gateway drug than Advil or milk.
Right.
You know, it's something mm-hmm. that milk soothes you as a child.
Right.
You learn to be soothed by something.
Yeah.
Advil takes away pain, pop a pill. And that's the biggest issue I have is pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are really anti. There's a couple special interest groups that are anti-marijuana legalization.
Really? So you think that actually happens, huh?
I mean, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Are you kidding? I mean, you know me. I'll go on a whole tangent about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't even smoke weed. I can't. But.
And that's the biggest issue is I look at, you know, I have a cousin who's 18, 19, 20. I have a bunch of cousins, and they live in states that marijuana is not legal, and they're addicts.
Mm.
And unfortunately, they can't use marijuana there because they'll go to jail.
Right.
So they start using other things, and they get trapped into a really bad cycle.
Like painkillers.
Painkillers, spice, which is a big thing nowadays. It's fake marijuana. It's like a herbal.
Wow.
It looks like marijuana. It's sprayed with chemicals. They sell it as like, it's called spice. They sell it at 7-Eleven.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's like incense, but you smoke it, and it's supposed to make you feel like you're smoking marijuana, but it's causing these kids to have major neurological issues.
Wow.
Seizures.
Because of the chemicals that are in it.
I mean, it's scary.
Right.
It's really scary.
Right.
Huh.
So the way I see it is you have prison groups. You have the private prisons who make billions of dollars keeping especially young African-American and Latino kids locked up in jail.
Mm.
You have these kids really, it's the equivalent of having a bottle of whiskey or, to me, I mean, having a bottle of whiskey or an ounce of marijuana, it's the same thing to me. They're both intoxicants.
Right.
Intoxicants. You can't just use it anywhere. You can't walk into a school and use it.
Mm.
But should they be in jail for this? And you take a kid who was thrown in jail for having an ounce of marijuana, maybe they were selling it to their friend. They're now thrown in jail with burglars, murderers, rapists. They're learning the tricks of the trade. They get out, they have a felony on their record. They can't hold a job because they have a felony. They can't become doctors, lawyers, real estate agents, nothing, because they have a felony. So what do? They end up becoming pimps. They end up becoming burglars. They end up becoming just bad. You look at thugs and gang members, and how do they get there?
Well,
yeah.
I don't think kids should be selling it. I mean,
absolutely not.
Think, like,
absolutely not.
You know,
but do they
not.
Should they be in jail
but
for it?
Should they be in jail for having it, you know, on them? Well, it depends on the age.
Because you're paying
I
for
mean,
them to be in jail. You're paying to feed them and clothe them and house them and everything.
And I totally get that comes from our taxpayers' money, and that's bullshit. But, I mean, and I get that. But then, and then we have overcrowding like we do here in LA, which is absolutely retarded because of all the retarded things that you're arrested for left and right. But I don't believe that. I feel like if you're a kid, if you're 18 or 19 and you have it on you, then I don't think you should be arrested for it. Like I think
I really
it should
believe
be legal.
It should be 21 and over.
But if it's a certain
and
amount,
and you can get a ticket, just like you get a ticket for having a beer. It's not you don't go to jail for having a beer.
Yeah, exactly. The punishment doesn't really fit.
But
the
I feel like, but crime. If you have like a whole trunk load of it, then that's a little like, okay, what are you doing?
But are you
but
working
if you have,
for a collective? Are you transporting it from grow to collective with the proper paperwork and documentation?
If you have proper paperwork, then I think it's fine. But if you just have it, then I'm like, okay, that's a little weird.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they actually get licenses to grow and transport it and
to
stuff?
To grow.
Yeah.
Well, when you get your recommendation, your letter of recommendation, you're allowed to possess, technically it's a half a pound of dried marijuana. Mm. Now, some people have actually challenged that in court and said, you know, we make butter because we eat cookies, and I need 10 pounds of marijuana to be able to make one batch of butter. So therefore, they actually are allowed to possess whatever amount is for their own medicinal use.
Mm.
But really, it's frowned upon, anything really over half a pound, anything in more than one container because it looks like you're distributing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so there's ways to do it right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when you, for example, if you're really sick and you have your doctor's note, and you want to grow your own product because you want to make sure there's no chemicals and it's organic,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you can't do it. Maybe your back's really bad and you can't water the plants. Well, you can take me to the health department. We can both apply for a state card and I could be your caregiver.
Oh,
and now I'm allowed to grow your plants for you. I'm not allowed to use the medicine.
Right.
But it's for you.
Right.
And
unless you get a recommendation,
see, that's
too.
Cool.
Correct.
I like that.
Correct.
Because, you know, like, I'm an herbalist, and I mean, I wouldn't care if I grow it. Like, I know what I'm doing. Now, I don't smoke it.
But
I wouldn't want to anyway.
But as an herbalist, it's really fascinating now is there are so many different compounds, chemical compounds in marijuana. And the top, just there's the top few of them, THC, which everyone knows is the euphoric side of it.
Right.
But then there's CBD, CBN, CBDN. There's a million different compounds, and we're just starting to figure out what those compounds do when you separate them.
Yeah.
And what's really fascinating is CBD, which is found in the leaf. You can actually take fresh a vegged plant. There's marijuana plants grow in two stages. There's the veg state, and then there's the flower state.
The flower, okay. Mm.
So it depends on the lighting. When they're in 18 to 24 hours of light, they will not grow any buds on them. They stay in flower. I mean, stay in veg.
Oh, really?
And then as soon as you flip the lights to 12 hours a day, they automatically go into flower. And that's just you're mimicking the sun. Either you put them outside or you put them inside. And once they start to flower, they're going to grow the buds and the crystals and all that. But when they're still in flower, you could actually just take the leaves right off the plant and juice them.
Mm.
Really?
And you can get CBD from it. Mm. Now, CBD research is becoming the new big thing. It's amazing because it's a neuroprotectant.
Mm.
And it doesn't just protect your nerves. It actually helps prevent and fix damage to your nerves.
Interesting.
So my dad has neuropathy, really terrible neuropathy in his feet from being diabetic. And he's having a hard time walking, and he can't sleep because he has shooting pains.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I'm able to bring home, you know, I'm trying to get him to use it's like a gummy bear.
Mm.
Eat one gummy bear.
Yeah.
You're not going to get high. You won't feel anything.
Really?
And, he wanted to try it, and he goes, I don't feel anything. It didn't work. I said, how did your feet feel? Actually, they're feeling okay.
that's interesting. Like,
that was so neat.
I would be considering that because not only would it be good for patients like that, but it would be good for then you're going into MS, you're going into Lyme, you're going into
fibromyalgia, absolutely.
You're going into all those things. And if it absolutely does help, because I mean, I had Lyme disease, I know how pain I was in forever, and you know, I still have issues with like my ankle and whatnot,
shingles as well too. Anything where your nerves are firing off, it's going to coat your nerve endings. And it's actually going to repair that damage.
Now, see, I also wonder, now to go even a little bit deeper, and this might be a little more crazy, but what about, because of nerve, also, seizures are also a nerve thing. How would it affect neurons in your brain?
I've been told, and from my experience, because we actually have a gentleman that volunteers for us who is, he was in the Army, and he was disabled, and he has scar tissue in his brain from an accident. And he suffers from epilepsy. He does not have grand mal seizures, usually. They're just petit mal. He'll freeze up, and he won't know what's going on. He might urinate on himself, and then he'll come out of the seizure and go, "Who's poured water on me?" and get a little upset and not know where he is or what he's doing.
Wow, how terrible.
He might walk up to me and try to kiss me and tell me that, you know, last night was great, and I'm looking at him going, "What? Oh my gosh, get away." But for him, he needs indica. So he actually needs to smoke indica. When he smokes indica, I could actually tell. I had a Labrador retriever with epilepsy. It was so sad.
Wow.
And actually, my parents' German Shepherd as well. And it's really common nowadays with a lot of the breeding with the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And now with people, we're seeing a lot more epilepsy. And I noticed that with my dog, he would start to run a little fever. He would like feel warm and his eyes would look a little glossy.
Right.
And then like maybe 15 minutes later, he'd have a seizure. So I started bringing home these, it's cannabis granola, indica granola, and I started feeding the dog granola, and his seizures started getting less and less, and when he would have them, maybe they wouldn't last 6 minutes, maybe they would last 30 seconds, which is huge, because
that's
when you have
like
a seizure, you might stop breathing,
and
it's horrific when they're fish, you know, flopping around, and with this gentleman that works with us, I can kind of sense, I could see a little bit, he's getting glossy, he's getting a little confused, and I'll say, "Here, bud, here you go, you know, why don't you smoke this?" "Oh, okay, thank you." And then he actually is okay. He didn't seize up, but there's been times where I was too busy, and I went, "Oh, no, here we go."
Right.
And then I saw it happen.
Right.
But then there's days where he can go for like a month if he's actually smoking the right thing.
Mm.
But sometimes he gets the wrong thing, he's going to have a seizure.
Right.
Now, what is an indica that helps with the seizures versus the
CBC?
It's
a muscle relaxant.
The other one. Okay.
It just relaxes his muscles. And in the way that, for some reason with epilepsy, a lot of it's triggered by scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of calms it. It calms it down.
Wow.
Well, I guess it would help with like an... I'm like going on tangents everywhere. Sorry. Like, you can follow me.
It really helps everything. And what's
right.
so amazing, there's a really sad story. I mean, it brought me to tears. I watched it on the news yesterday, but there's a parent of a child with autism.
Mm-hmm.
And this child started beating himself in the face. He gets really upset, and he literally rams his head into the wall until he's bloodied.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents, they didn't know what to do, and they put a helmet on him. And
it's actually, believe it or not, common.
It's very common.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's... As a parent, and I don't have a child, but I can only imagine looking at it's this child that you created that you love more than anything,
right.
and they're slamming their head into a window and you know,
glass
and
out.
Sticking forks in there. You know, it's horrific.
Yes.
And these parents were able to figure out that if they took a little bit of cannabis oil and they put it under his tongue twice a day, he actually doesn't do that anymore. He sits and he plays and he can't speak still, but he's calm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not high. I mean, if you look at him, he's just enjoying sensory, touching things, where before anything touched him would trigger him and he would freak out and start flapping.
It's just a relaxant.
And just, it's relaxing them.
Right.
And I'm seeing that a lot. A lot of parents are coming to us nowadays saying, you know what, that we don't want to tell our doctor.
Right.
We're scared to tell the doctor. And that's why we offer a separate doctor's office that writes these recommendations. Because a lot of people, they've had a relationship with their physician for a long time. And they just don't feel comfortable telling them this.
Right.
Well,
and
would they write it?
Someone to watch over you.
And would you, I mean, can a normal doctor write
this? Anyone can write it. They just don't know how to or the proper wording.
Got
There's a correct way to do it. And they don't know how.
So, I mean, I have another question, too. Sorry, I have so many. Because I don't smoke and I don't know much about it. And there are for people out there that are interested maybe for medical, you know, certain medical issues. Like, for me, I can't smoke it because I become an idiot. I become retarded. I laugh. I catch my hair on fire. I see things.
I remember the
story. Or I'm really depressed the next day. It just doesn't work for me. Whereas I would
I would actually say that your body produces enough cannabinoids on its own.
Okay.
And
really?
That's why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Hmm. So that's why some people just...
some people
they
genetically
don't like it.
Just love it, and some people genetically it just doesn't work for them. Just like alcohol.
Yeah, that's true.
I love alcohol.
That's true, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
See,
oh,
and I love pot.
we've got a two against one here.
Yeah.
But then you know what? Maybe it is too because, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to take that back. Because I was like, well, alcohol is kind of a depressant, and I'm so hyper that it makes me like... maybe not so hyper. Well, that's not true, though.
It depends.
I think you also not smoke the right thing for you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really a science to choosing. And I like to tell people, you really want to smell it. And people say, I don't know what it means when I smell it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I've watched so many people over the years smell marijuana. When they find the strain that works for them, they automatically smile.
Really?
Their brain just says, that's it. And they just go, that's it. It's so funny to really see. I mean, your brain actually does the picking for the most part. I mean, we'll say, okay, this is the indica side. Stay over here. Or, you know, maybe you need something sativa for daytime, something indica for nighttime, something hybrid if you're going to go to work or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, after you've used it for a long time, you know, I mean, at least for me, it's like I don't even feel the difference between them, you know. It's like, because I don't really get high. I mean, I just like, at this point, I just get to be in a good mood, you know. But it's nothing like
take
the first highs,
off.
You know.
Take
I know.
A few days off.
I did. When I went to Israel for a couple of weeks, I came back. It was a great feeling.
It's like the first time you ever smoked again.
Yeah, well, not quite, but okay. It's close. So, now, when did you first become introduced to marijuana? Was it pretty early in your life?
I wouldn't say it was too early. I think we talked about this last time. I mean, I knew that kids were in high school were using it, and it wasn't really around. And then I met Snoop, and of course, you know, it was the first person I ever smoked with. And, but it wasn't something I did all the time. It was like, okay, it was at a party, and it wasn't, you know, looking out seeking marijuana. Mm-hmm.
So then you started to be in the company of Snoop Dogg, and you started getting into it.
Not necessarily. No. Okay. I mean, he smoked, but it was like, whatever, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
So you weren't drawn to it right away?
No. If anything, the opposite.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because I looked at it as something bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was always told it was bad.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
I just assumed that it was not, there was no medicinal benefit to it, and I was always... My family's not the normal. We were never drinkers in our house. Mm. My parents never drank. All of a sudden now, have like wine at dinner, and my sister and I look at them like, who are you people?
My family's
Since when
same.
Did you do this?
Really?
Same here.
So my sister and I joke, when we go to a restaurant, we don't think of ordering wine like most people are having a drink. We want to get an iced tea. It's just that's what my mom gets. It's normal. So for me, I wasn't around drinking or smoking or it was just... whatever, you know?
Exactly.
And I knew people that did it. Fine. You could have a drink. You could have a smoke. Go do your thing.
Right.
You know, that's fine.
Yeah.
You're not hurting anyone. That's fine. But it wasn't until that I had this friend with cancer, and he really convinced me. What's even funnier is I had a friend years before this that got a job working in San Francisco at a cannabis club. Mm-hmm. And my ex-fiance told me, oh, you're not going to believe Nikki got a job at the cannabis club. And I ripped on this girl. For years, like, really? A cannabis? I mean, what is she doing with her life? I mean, who does this? Only losers would work in this industry. I mean, what kind of... I mean, let's be real. Let's be real.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until my friend got sick and I went up to San Francisco and I saw it for myself and I went, wow, this is done just like in Amsterdam.
Right.
And I've been to Amsterdam and I was totally fine with smoking in a coffee shop because that's what you do over there.
Exactly.
It's okay.
And it's a lot of fun, you know? You sit outside even... You know,
and that
like
was maybe my first time realizing that marijuana has there's potential for a different experience.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, what's wrong with it socially? You know, that's the thing is people enjoy drinking. Why not enjoy smoking without feeling like a criminal?
Exactly.
You know, so now with Colorado and Washington now legalizing it and stuff, and it's still it's very gray area at this point. But
Washington State legalized?
Washington State,
State and Colorado, right. And
which my friends just got the contract to control the flow of marijuana in Washington State.
Nice.
Which is very, very cool.
Really?
So they're going to be testing all the products, making sure everybody's labeling it correct and making it just...
That's cool.
It's the future.
Yeah.
And they're going to be working with ABC. So it's, you know, alcohol and tobacco. And the alcohol, it's so regulated everywhere. They do it wonderfully. Why can't we use them to do it here?
Right.
And that's what we're doing in Washington.
Yeah, and I have no problem. I'm like, I have no problem with that. I think that that's great. And honestly, people are going to buy it anyway. We might as well, if they're going to tax on it, might as well. You know what I mean? You tax on alcohol.
Right.
Like, we're so in debt. Like,
well,
I don't know why.
The interesting thing is, I did a pilot for a reality series about a year and a half ago, and the producers went to Washington, D.C., and they wanted to get a couple interviews from some government people, and they met with Gil Kerlikowske, who's the drug czar, and they asked him about marijuana. And they said, why do you think it's not legal? And he said, it's not that it's bad. It's the fact that we can't control it.
Oh.
The fact that you can grow it in your closet, and I can't tax it.
Oh,
but I can make alcohol in my closet.
Well, you
I can make kombucha.
You can make beer.
Right.
You can't make whiskey, can you?
I mean, you could.
Really?
But you're not legally. No, you can't use, you know, so there are laws.
Right.
You know, in place right. with certain, you know, wine and you're licensed to do these things.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
It's regulated, you know. Now, my question is, I'm wondering about the dispensaries because they all say, oh, you can do it for non-profit. But, I mean, who oversees that? You know, I mean.
Well, Jerry Brown, the governor of California, had said a few years back that he wanted to make sure all these businesses were nonprofit, and you know, he doesn't want people, criminal entities, profiting off of this, which is true. That's good. That's wonderful.
Right.
So every dispensary, they changed from their one person ownership to a collective where there's actually a board and people vote in people. I mean, it's very professionally run.
Really?
And it's fascinating.
But not all
but your salaries are
collective,
capped.
Right?
They should all be collectives.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If they're not, they're not doing something
They're not
right.
legal. Mm.
They're probably not paying sales tax either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And that's another thing is that, you know, how can you possibly pay income taxes if it's an illegal thing as far as the federal government is
concerned?
Well,
and that's where it gets really, really interesting because there's a tax code called 280E, the IRS, and that's how they got Al Capone. And that was basically you cannot write off your expenses on anything illegal. So these businesses can't write off their rent. They can't write off their employees, their payroll. They can't write off their product, their overhead, nothing.
Wow.
So essentially, they can't run a business. They can't operate. They can't function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's they're going after them for taxes now.
Yeah.
And that's how the only way to shut these places down.
Right.
Sad. And, you know, a lot of the dispensaries, they give counseling. So when you come in, you're not just buying like a pair of shoes, you're actually getting counseled on the correct
on what
way.
You should buy,
so technically, you shouldn't, you know, you're getting a free service.
Right.
You also, a lot of these dispensaries offer yoga or personal training on certain days where you could just go in and the dispensary you stop by, they have on Thursdays, free fitness Thursdays, where we have a professional trainer come in and work with patients and, you know, show them little moves to do at home so they can stay strong
and
healthy.
You know what? I would go in and do healing sessions.
Let's do it.
That'd be
awesome.
No, I'm serious because why not?
Yeah, that's true. And that's the thing. I mean, I think it's been proven so many times that it does help some patients, you know, or maybe a lot of patients, you know. So, but, you know, obviously not everybody's using it for medical reasons. But the thing
and,
is,
and
I think...
And it's funny that you said that. Because
but I think everybody's got a medical reason. I think if you're self-medicating because you have an emotional problem or something, you know, what's wrong with that? You know, if it mellows you out and...
Well, I don't want you to substitute that for therapy or to find out the root of the problem because if you're just self-medicating, that's not healthy. And that's why I feel that a lot of these people shouldn't be in jail. They should be in rehab. They should be taught the correct way to do things.
And I agree with that, absolutely.
And that's
the
problem is they're in the wrong place. They're being treated as prisoners. I met a pimp the other night. I was on Archbishop Don Magic radio show. You're a good buddy. And he had a couple of pimps from all over the country come out, and I was talking to this one guy, really, really great guy from Texas, and I started explaining, you know, my theory about all these young kids getting thrown in jail and surrounded by criminals, and they have a felony on their record, and they can't do anything good with their life, and he started crying. And I said, what? What's wrong? And he goes, I wouldn't have been a pimp. I could have been a doctor. And I went, see, but the fact that he wanted to be a doctor, the fact that that's always been his life dream.
Right.
And it got cut short when he was 19 years old because of something stupid that he did. And the fact that we're taking away people's chances of being successful, we're holding them back. And then you wonder why. Why do we have so much crime? Why do we have all these issues?
Because we alienate all these people.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I totally agree. I don't think shoving someone in jail for drinking or drugs is going to be the end all. Like, it's not, you're not learning a lesson. You become more pissed off.
Yeah,
but also,
it's not,
when corporal you're that punishment age. Is illegal. We're not allowed to punish people in the U.S., like beat them physically.
Right.
But most police officers know that when you're getting thrown in jail, something really bad is going to happen to you. And I had a friend who was in the medical marijuana industry, which is really, really sad. He was 10 years ago. I was, you know, driving from a collective selling some product that he had grown, and he got arrested and he went to jail, and really terrible things happened to him in jail.
Wow.
And he had to be stitched closed, all right, after this.
Are you
incident,
serious?
All right. So he did not want to go back to jail. 5 years later, he was drinking whiskey after a night with his girlfriend. He got in a fight with her. Someone called the police. Police showed up at the front door. Rather than just answering the front door, he didn't do anything wrong. He jumped headfirst off a balcony. Because he just said, because he in his own mind, I will never go back there.
Right.
I will never go
back
there.
Well, it only makes him look stupid.
And this is all from marijuana?
He didn't even have marijuana on him that. But the first time,
he had marijuana
and he got thrown in jail.
Wow.
But it was just the second time. It's the fear of going back there.
The fear of going back there.
And then by running away, you automatically seem guilty.
Exactly.
So then they're going to take you right back there anyway.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you have a search warrant out for you if you don't turn, you know.
And I actually had police officers contact. I went to the hospital to see him. He survived, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And he was very brain damaged afterwards.
Wow.
And the police, they cried to me. They said, we feel so bad. We didn't know he was going to run and do something like that. We didn't. Mm. We just wanted to ask him a question. I said, why did you have your guns drawn? The poor guy, you scared the crap out of him. But either way, it's you know, you have to look at it from law enforcement point of view. You don't know.
They don't know what they're going into.
And they are risking their lives for our safety.
Especially,
so,
you know, the majority of things that happen with police, it's domestic calls where they really have to be more careful.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. It's.
And I have a lot of friends who are police officers, and I have so much respect for what they do. And especially in West Hollywood, they are so wonderful, the sheriffs.
They are in West Hollywood.
They are awesome.
I'm not going to.
West Hollywood sheriffs are the best.
Really?
Honestly, the best. And they understand medical cannabis. They understand there's a need for it. They realize that ever since these dispensaries started operating, they don't have to deal with half these crazy people
exactly,
on the street because
the
they're
streets.
Now happy.
Yeah.
They're happy. They're not bugging people.
Exactly.
And they can focus on the real crime.
Exactly. I mean, it makes no sense to go and deal with a drug dealer, you know, especially when you're like my age or something. You know, what are you going to do? Meet this 18-year-old dealer and buy it on the street and, back
and
alleys?
And not to mention what's so interesting, these dispensaries are... They have so much security. They put cameras up all over the streets, which makes the neighborhood safer.
Yeah.
And in West Hollywood, you have a lot of pedestrians and people are getting hit by cars all the time. They've caught six or so accidents. They had proof on the cameras. The police always come over. Hey, can we look on your cameras?
Sure.
Thank you so much. You guys are great. But normally, you know, you wouldn't
you
expect
can't put
to see
up
a police
cameras.
Officer hanging out in a pot store.
Right.
And actually, you know what else? It's illegal to put up... Stores can put up cameras, but it's illegal to have the cameras on the streets now because of, like, some guy sued... Did you guys hear that story?
No.
The red light cameras are no longer in the West Hollywood area. I'm not sure about other areas. But it's because some guy was cheating on his wife. The picture was... He ran a red light. The picture got sent home. The wife saw the picture of someone else driving the car. It was this whole big thing. So they sued and they won.
Wow.
You know, invasion of privacy.
Right.
And so there's no more cameras allowed to be put on the streets.
Are you serious?
So what's funny now, unless
they're still
you're
there.
A shop...
They're still there.
But unless you're a shop owner who has them, you can't really look at these. You can't use them in court.
Whoa.
Interesting.
I know.
Very interesting.
So
I got a ticket in the mail, 12 years ago. I had given my old car to my grandfather, and we never changed the paperwork. And I remember I came home, 11 o'clock at night.
You're
and
what?
On the kitchen table was an envelope, and it looked like a ticket, and my dad wrote on the top of it, we need to talk. And I went, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and I was so upset, and I look, and there's a picture of my grandfather. But he was looking up into the sky, and
you're
I went,
what is he doing?
Oh, my God. And you could see he's almost getting hit on one side,
oh
and almost
God.
Getting hit on the other, and he was 90 years old. And
oh
I went, okay,
God.
Time to take away the license.
Yeah. There you go.
Real quick before we run out of time, I just want to touch on this really quickly. Because
only 2 minutes.
I know. So the whole thing about, and I'm just...
But you know what? Hold on just a second before we change the topic. Let's just let Dr. Dina know, let people know how they can get a hold of you if they need them to, you to consult them and things like that.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Dr. Dina, D-R-D-I-N-A, on Instagram, Dr. Dina 420, and... you can email me at drdina420@gmail.com.
Sounds good.
Perfect email.
Isn't it?
Yeah. There you go.
Now, real quick, I just want to touch on a whole hunger strike that's going on at Guantanamo Bay. I'm just saying, I was like, what, should we just throw some, I don't know, weed in their food? Maybe they'll eat it and, you know, be hungry.
I find more fascinating about Brian Banks' story. Have you heard about Brian Banks, who was exonerated for the, this girl actually claimed that he raped her in high school. He was sent to jail for 5 years, spent 5 years as a criminal, as a sex offender, and 10 years after the incident, she contacted him on Facebook and said, I want to be friends with you.
Wow.
And he met her in an office, put cameras up. She admitted that she made up the whole story so that she can sue the LA school district or the Long Beach school district for $1.5 million, which she won.
Mm.
And this kid was falsely accused of rape, destroyed his whole life, and he just got
I hope he's suing the shit out of her.
He's a football player. He just got signed by the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. So it's the best story. Check
you know
it out.
What?
Brian Banks.
Karma.
Exonerated.
That's what's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to touch base on it really quick because I heard about this morning. I was getting my hair done early this morning. And I heard about it, and I'm just like, I get that people, there's over 168 prisoners in Guantanamo Bay. They're on a hunger strike. And I think this is completely retarded because they were, and I looked it up, and it's because the feds were searching prisoners' Korans for possible, you know, containment. And here's the thing. You're in freaking prison. No matter what you have, it deserves to be searched. And this isn't just like a jail. This is a federal big prison. You've fucked up. You've done something. Exactly. You don't want to eat.
Why let them die.
Here's the thing. Why do I give a shit if you don't want to eat? Why do I care? Because, you know, all the food, that's taxpayers' money. You're just saving us money.
Yeah.
Why do we give a shit? And they're talking about force feeding 11 different prisoners. Mm. They're talking about the prisoners aren't drinking water. I think six people
are almost on deathbed.
We can't
waterboard them, but we can force feed them.
This is absolutely, I mean, I think it's absolutely insane. Like, I was really upset watching it this morning. Like, why do we care? If you don't want to eat, why do we give a shit? You're saving us money.
Yeah.
You're an asshole anyway, because this is a huge prison. Like, you really fucked up to be there.
Right.
So, honestly, what you're a murderer, you killed this many people, or you've done this many horrible things. So why do I care if you die?
Right.
So what's the point of the hunger strike?
Because that's the only thing they have is because, like prisoners have. Because otherwise, you know, because if you die, it's the responsibility of your captors and all that.
We don't fucking care.
Right.
I don't care.
Okay, but the government does.
But there's the other thing. Because, and the thing is that they're saying this all started because they're searching prisoners' Korans, which are basically like the Bible.
Right.
So, I mean, anything you have in prison is searchable.
Right.
You can search socks. You can search your butt cracks.
Right.
I mean, they're searching anything.
Right.
So why does a Bible, all of a sudden, it's this holy thing that you're not going to hide drugs or things in it? Bullshit. It's the first place you would hide something in it.
Yeah.
So they're just pissed off because someone got caught, and now this whole thing's happening, and it's all over the news, and it really pisses me off.
Okay. Well, I see your point.
I just needed to vent about that.
Okay. Well, we're running over time here. Dr. Dina, thank you so much.
Thank you
always
for having
fun.
Me.
We'll always have you. And that's it. So have a great weekend. Brigitte, have a great
reality
weekend.
Reality Rally weekend.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay, well, we got to check it out. Where is it?
RealityRally.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at RealBrigitte, and I will let you know what place I come in for the Amazing Race.
And that's Temecula, right?
That's where it is. Temecula. The race starts all day tomorrow. So I will post scores and where I am and photos and whatnot during the race.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitte, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitte is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.